it's an Almond Monday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports here today, we'll check in with national and regional agricultural news, and the show kicks off with a check-in of regional ag news right after this word from our sponsor.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
In testimony before the Senate Appropriations Committee last week, Forest Chief Randy Moore was asked by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley about the status of hiring wildland firefighters. Chief Moore said their goal is to hire 11,300 nationwide. The current level is at 10,200, or 90%. He said in some areas, the agency has only reached 50% of their staffing goals. 50% sounds a little scary, according to Senator Merkley, when you're thinking about the fires that they'll be facing in various states. Chief Moore said many of the Forest Service's firefighting positions are in Washington, Oregon, and California. Senators Dianne Feinstein and Alex Padilla, both Democrats in California, have called on 13 major carriers to secure additional containers to export U.S. agricultural products during a global food shortage. They are deeply concerned that U.S. agricultural producers are unable to secure containers to export their products to market amid a global food shortage, and they are urging them to work with American agricultural exporters to immediately expand export opportunities, according to the senators in a letter to companies CEOs. The senators say they are proud that California's agricultural production represents 13% of the nation's total value. California produces 400 different crops and is a nation's sole producer of many specialty crops, such as certain nuts, stone fruit, and produce. Further, California produces 21% of the U.S. milk supply, including 50% of non-fat dry milk. However, these agricultural commodities have been significantly hampered in exporting their products because of container and equipment shortages, canceled bookings, and inadequate receiving windows. According to a letter from agricultural producers, 3 out of 4 containers at U.S. ports are returning to Asia empty, resulting in a significant backlog of sold product in need of transportation. As a result of these delays, the California agricultural industry has lost $2.1 billion in exports between May and September of 2021, nearly 1.4 billion pounds of almonds, requiring more than 30,000 containers need to be moved between now and July 31st, with similar amounts for walnuts. The California dairy industry has experienced $1.5 billion in losses, with some now resorting to air freight. Perishable exports such as fresh produce and stone fruit cannot be stored or held, making these delays even more costly. In a tragic twist, the inability of farmers to move their products to market is now occurring against the backdrop of worldwide food shortages. As Fruit World Company Incorporated of Reedley, California, celebrates its 5th anniversary, its founders can see their original business ideas were sound and worth building on. When they started, their original goal was to ensure their family farms continued into future generations, and they quickly realized that's a mission that a lot of people support and are excited about, according to Bianca Caprilian, CEO and co-founder. She says they were able to think bigger and start representing their family farms beyond their own. At the start of its 6th year, Fruit World has a brand refresh coming, Equitable Food Initiative certification, organic acreage expansion, and plans to introduce new citrus and grape varieties. Caprilian co-founded Fruit World in the spring of 2017 with CJ Buxman, president, as both came from families involved in the stone fruit business. The company began growing and marketing conventional and organic citrus and organic stone fruit, grapes, and specialty fruit. The company's focus now is mainly on citrus and grapes, mostly organic, with an emphasis on quality. Cherry harvest in one of California's early regions in western Merced County started mid-April. It's been a record-setting early season, but they have a unique microclimate there in the area, having a potential to be earlier than the southern growing districts, according to Chris Medeiros with Mina Farms. He says demand has been strong. They've been shipping to several countries since day one of the season. The company ships all of its cherries by air and about 24 to 48 hours after packing. Countries of destination include many of the northern, central, and southeast Asian countries, as well as the Middle East. Due to the lockdown in China, market traffic has been low and arrivals are difficult in some markets, with MENA farms choosing to wait for better conditions.
The state of California
did not see much rainfall during the typical wet months of January, February, and March. Some heavy rainstorms came through in April. It was at a time when a fruit was most vulnerable. They used helicopters and tree sprayers for blowing the fruit dry and deployed different irrigation techniques to prevent the rain from impacting the crop. Although it's hard to pinpoint which method was most effective, Medeiros say they were pleased to say they weathered the storm as they only sustained limited damage in isolated fields. Despite those challenges leading up to harvest, the quality turned out exceptional with a very good size, less doubles and suture compared to other years, and a high Brix level of up to 32 with an average Brix of 22 to 25. They have received much positive feedback about the quality of this season, and he says customers seem to really enjoy the taste and experience. Pricing is up from last year as freight is very expensive. Additionally, the dollar is strong right now, making cherries even more expensive for overseas buyers. California Citrus Mutual released its 2020 to 2021 final California Citrus Season Perspective Report. For a majority of the season, the fruit quality was excellent. The movement was steady and shippers managed to hold prices fairly steady. The crop size, however, proved challenging as the season drew on. The 2020 to 2021 season may go down in the history books as one of the longest, which will later have impacts on the size of the following season's crop and more immediately the start of the Valencia season. There were growers whose fruit was not picked, and at the same time, growers' costs were skyrocketing. There were unprecedented challenges across the supply chain with transportation and shipping logistics. The China market failed to recover following the Trump-era trade disputes that were not resolved in the China Phase 1 agreement. Despite these adversities, shippers held prices above where they were at the beginning of 2020 when prices were crashing and the market was oversupplied. Relative to where the industry was at the time, given the dynamics of the season, the 2020 to 2021 season was generally favorable for the California citrus industry. In addition, a report indicated that according to an industry survey, California citrus grower costs for the 2020 to 2021 season increased by nearly $1,000 an acre. That is a 19% increase since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The two largest cost drivers were water and shipping. The spot market for surface water had increased 400% and in many cases was not available at all. Shipping costs were up as much as 380% since the start of the pandemic due to the limited supply of containers and delays at ports around the world. In testimony before the Senate Appropriations Committee last week, Forest Chief Randy Moore was asked by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley about the status of hiring wildland firefighters. Chief Moore said their goal is to hire 11,300 nationwide. The current level is at 10,200 or 90%. He said in some areas, the agency has only reached 50% of their staffing goals. 50% sounds a little scary, according to Senator Merkley, when you're thinking about the fires that they'll be facing in various states. Chief Moore said many of the Forest Service's firefighting positions are in Washington, Oregon, and California. California Citrus Mutual released its 2020 to 2021 final California Citrus Season Perspective Report. For a majority of the season, the fruit quality was excellent. The movement was steady and shippers managed to hold prices fairly steady. The crop size, however, proved challenging as the season drew on. The 2020 to 2021 season may go down in the history books as one of the longest, which will later have impacts on the size of the following season's crop and more immediately the start of the Valencia season. There were growers whose fruit was not picked, and at the same time, growers' costs were skyrocketing. There were unprecedented challenges across the supply chain with transportation and shipping logistics. The China market failed to recover following the Trump-era trade disputes that were not resolved in the China Phase 1 agreement. Despite these adversities, shippers held prices above where they were at the beginning of 2020 when prices were crashing and the market was oversupplied. Relative to where the industry was at the time, given the dynamics of the season, the 2020 to 2021 season was generally favorable for the California citrus industry. In addition, a report indicated that according to an industry survey, California citrus grower costs for the 2020 to 2021 season increased by nearly $1,000 an acre.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
The month of May is here, and with that comes a couple more things to think about for this almond season. For pests, spider mites are now in play. The plants are continuing to take up nitrogen and potassium, and there are a few diseases to potentially look out for as well. UCCE farm advisor Franz Niederholzer joined the show and noted that diseases in May are sparse, but the one to look out for is Alternaria.
Historically, Alternaria has been a problem. Growers and PCAs in those areas, microclimates know about it and know the timing. So, Alternaria is an issue in some areas, widespread disease issues this time of year are not common.
More importantly to look out for right now are insects and mites. UC recommends tracking navel orangeworm populations and developing a hole split and harvest timing navel orangeworm plan. Egg traps can be used to project when egg laying is likely to begin for later generations once a biofix is attained in spring. Pheromone traps, which catch males and are ineffective near mating disruption products, and bait bag traps, which catch females, can be used to track flights and relative pest levels.
May usually is not a timing for treatment for those, but making sure you know where your pest populations are and the timings of that as we're moving, amazingly enough, hole split's not that far off. So getting ready for keeping track of your moth populations, your eggs, navel orangeworm eggs, it's important.
Spider mites are also extremely important to monitor for this time of year, as well as their predators, at least weekly, watching hotspot areas that are often dusty or water-stressed. Areas that have a greater reliance on groundwater might result in increased irrigation salinity-induced water stress, and therefore increased mite pressure. Early abamectin sprays provide excellent spider mite control, according to UC, for roughly 60 days if carefully applied, but can create mite flaring going into harvest as the abamectin wears off.
Keep track of the pest mites, spider mites, two spot, and also the predators of those mites, because it's a balance where the treatment timings are balanced. Six spotted thrips, predatory mites, and the balance of those two. This time of year are going to tell you your spray decisions, if there is a need to spray. Up here in the Sacramento Valley, we're going through this roller coaster weather where, it gets warm and maybe the mites jump up, but then it gets cool and the predators catch up. But mites are, working with your PCA, mites are really important to pay attention to.
Of lesser importance to the state, but still necessary to look out for, are leaf-footed bugs and stink bugs, as well as ants.
They are important pests in local areas, and PCAs and growers should be aware of that, keeping track of them as best possible. They're often they're strong flyers. They move around. The adults can move around, so it's important to keep a regular track of them. Ants, the timing to be to monitor for ants is coming up. So again, with hull split, not all that far off, it's important to get ready for a big issue at harvest and as you get into the harvest timing, which is ants. Many of the products need to go on significantly ahead of harvest, and then you've got to monitor to know when the materials need to be applied. So don't forget about ants. It's just time to ramp up, circle your calendar for June, and maybe do some looking around.
May is crucial for key nutrients to get sucked up into the tree before hole split. UC recommends reassessing crop set for nitrogen and considering leaf sample results from last July and or this spring and adjusting the amount of nitrogen application needed before harvest, up or down depending on all information. For potassium, maintain leaf potassium levels in the adequate range around 1.4% through July to minimize spur death and reduced flower number for next year.
Now is the time, May is really the last big push for nitrogen in almonds. It's when the seeds are picking up a lot of the kernel, the thing you're selling and want to grow is accumulating a lot of nitrogen. So keeping up with adequate nitrogen in the field is really important. It's the key nutrient across all orchards. Of course, that's going to vary with crop load. You're basically, the nitrogen's going on to feed the nuts. And depending upon how many nuts you have, there's more feed needed. And as you point out, the price is high. So you don't want to overdo it, waste money. And you don't certainly don't want to short the trees for nitrogen, in order, given the value that goes into the crop, the value of that directly feeding the crop. Potassium is important for nut development and transportation of nutrients and energy to the nuts. It is also very expensive, but critical, especially you don't want to fall behind in this year because it can affect the amount of flowers you have next year. But keeping an eye on leaf levels, I know a number of PCAs that take leaf samples now once a month, and they compare that early sample date, you know, the 1st of April, the 1st of May, maybe the 1st of June, to the known levels in the summertime. And since nutrient levels generally go down, of the macronutrients go down from as the season progresses, if you're already at the July levels, you know you need to add some more. So potassium is probably on an as-needed basis right now. You don't want to fall behind, but you don't want to overdo it based on the, it's basically feeding the nuts, and if you don't have nuts or you have a lesser crop, you don't have to use as much.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, delivering value to growers and handlers with advocacy, research programs, and walnut promotions. Doing more together.
A USDA official says the new Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities program is drawing good early interest from farmers and ranchers. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
The USDA's Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities program will be providing grants to groups to do large-scale pilot projects to find market opportunities for farmers who produce so-called climate smart commodities. And so far, as farmers find out more about this new initiative...
Lots of interest, we think, lots of anecdotal interest.
USDA Undersecretary Robert Bonney telling visiting farm broadcasters in Washington this week that as word about the program starts to get out to farmers...
The thing you're going to hear from us over and over on climate is that we wanted this to be about collaboration with agriculture and forestry. We want it to be incentive-based. We want it to be producer-led. We want to do this in as transparent and open way as we can. We know that climate change isn't always the easiest issue in parts of rural America, but agriculture and forestry are at the table in a really, really productive way.
Andy said he wants those who are submitting applications for possible climate smart commodity projects to keep in mind that
climate smart practices are going to have to pencil. If they don't pencil, agriculture is not going to sign up.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Despite the ongoing military conflict in Ukraine, the country's farmers are expected to complete a majority of spring planting, according to the head of a major U.S. seed company official during an earnings call last week. Dave Anderson, Corteva Agriscience Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, said the company is performing well in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, despite the war in Ukraine, which has created logistical constraints. He said demand was strong in military-free areas for both crop protection and seeds. He says farmers continue to plant crops, and for local estimates, many expect more than 70% of Ukraine's spring crops to be planted. Anderson said during a Corteva earnings call, the company expects to lose $25 million and $75 million for exiting its Russia business. Russia represents about 2% of Corteva's annual revenue. Trade topics continue to get attention in Washington, D.C. Farm News reporter Michael Clements has more about what the American Farm Bureau Federation is following right now.
Trade is always a hot topic in agriculture, and the American Farm Bureau Federation says there are three issues to watch right now. Dave Salmonson, AFBF Senior Director of Government Affairs, says President Biden recently signed legislation changing the trade relationship between the U.S. and Russia.
The first legislation basically stops us from importing energy from Russia. Second bit of legislation revokes what's called permanent normal trade relations with Russia. What that means is that we have granted Russia, like we grant 160 plus other countries around the world, the exact same tariff treatment. So now the U.S. is free to impose different tariffs going forward on Russia, falling back to our tariff schedule we had with them before they had this status.
Meanwhile, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai is holding trade dialogues with the United Kingdom.
These aren't formal trade negotiations, but the U.S. and the U.K. have settled some trade disputes based on the imposition of steel tariffs a few years ago. That's been resolved. Farm Bureau supports having a full-fledged trade agreement with the United Kingdom, hopefully getting rid of some of their standards barriers they have to various exports, especially meat products. So we're hopeful that these initial talks will lead to formal trade negotiations sometime soon.
And Salmonson adds, the U.S. Section 301 tariffs on Chinese imports could be addressed soon.
We've heard from Treasury Secretary Yellen, officials in the National Security Council and the White House saying maybe it's time to revisit those tariffs to help trade. We in agriculture have been against those tariffs because of the retaliation. And even though they waived a lot of that because of the China-U.S. Phase 1 agreement, the purchase commitment of that agreement is over, and the potential to reimpose tariffs lingers out there.
Michael Klimitz, Washington.
Unsure of your naval orange worm program? No worries now with Rango, a proven solution to protect your orchard at hull split from naval orange worm. Rango is an OMRI-listed broad-spectrum biopesticide with no known resistance, making it an excellent rotation and tank mix partner for both conventional and organic growers. Partner with Rango today. Contact your PCA, local dealer, or visit rangonow.com. Rango, no worries now.
Two new reports on total almond acreage recently released, showing that the total number of new almond acres continues to grow, but at a slowing rate. Jesse Roseman is the principal analyst for environmental and regulatory affairs at the Almond Board of California.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture, National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, released their 2021 California almond acreage report. And this is their best estimate of the acreage that was standing last year. And they also give an overall estimate of the bearing acreage this year. And then at the same time, Land IQ, which is a consulting company that the Almond Board's been working with for a number of years, released their 2022 standing acreage initial estimate. And this report estimates bearing acreage by county for the current year. And they also look at how many orchards they think will be removed between last fall's harvest and this year's. And together, I think we see a picture that California's almond acreage continues to grow, but it's at a gradually slowing rate. And while the number of almond orchards removed increased over the previous year, it wasn't enough to offset overall acreage gains.
The slowing increase follows a general trend of slowing growth in total almond acres since the largest increase in 2015.
The estimate from Land IQ of bearing almond acres this year at harvest is that it'll cover around 1.33 million acres. This minus removals, that's an increase of around 29,000 acres, or about a 2.2% increase over what they estimated bearing acreage was in 2021. And NAS's estimate of bearing acres is pretty similar at 1.37 million acres. And we've got both reports up, you know, online at our website, almonds.com. We have seen over the last 3 years a slowing in the rate of increase. So that's interesting, and there could be a number of different reasons why we're seeing acreage expansion slow. One theory might be that pricing, you know, has not been as high as it's been in the past, so that might be slowing down new plantings. And then we also have water supply challenges, especially in a drought year, and that may also be impacting planting decisions by growers.
The Land IQ and USDA NAS reports each calculate acreage in a different way, but usually arrive at similar numbers.
Land IQ's is based on satellite remote sensing and ground truthing, while NAS's reports are based on grower surveys. NAS, as of 2020, does get the acreage report from Land IQ. So they're actually incorporating that. And then they use these reports to help inform the two reports that they do each year on what we think production is going to be. So that those are the subjective and objective reports. And then other industry stakeholders can use these reports in a large variety of ways. They may be developing their own estimates of production this year, or making other planting or removal decisions. It's really our role just to supply as much information to the industry and stakeholders as possible. And an accurate accounting of acreage is just one of the many ways that we provide a full picture of California almonds.
By combining satellite data with ground truthing, the process of actually going on location around almond growing areas to mark locations where almonds are grown, LandIQ becomes very confident in their total acreage numbers and other specific data on orchards.
They think that their overall estimate of acreage is almost 99% accurate. And then they also do another service, which is estimating not only the total amount of acres and which counties it's located in, but also how old the trees are that are out there. And they think that's around 95% accurate, plus or minus a year.
For My Ag Life Daily News, I'm Patrick Cotter.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.